But we ask you for that faith, Lord, that we can believe every word and every promise and every moving of the Holy Spirit, Lord, and everything that you have for your bride in this day. And we know that, Lord, that Satan has fought since the garden, since the beginning, since before the garden, Lord, and he was cast out. Lord, we thank you and praise you. Lord, that your word continually prevails. And Lord, your word is proving, Lord, constantly your presence among your people. Proving, Lord, that you're alive and overcoming, Lord, and in everything that you had in your mind that you would do. And Lord, we ask that you would speak to our hearts this morning. We thank you for the songs, the hearts of worship and praise to your lovely name. And Father, may you now give us the anointing as we go into the furtherance of the service, Lord, that you would speak to every heart. Give us revelation. Give us faith. Lord, we just thank you and praise you as we commit all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated. We greet you this morning in the name of the Lord. And we're just happy to see each one. We appreciate Brother Goomba. We've seen he ministered this morning to Theka Church, and so we know we just thank God that he's able to give them the spiritual food. And Sister Emily and them traveled up down the road this morning, and so we're glad that they come back to be with us. And good to see Sister Esther, and we just give the Lord thanks and praise. And also we looking forward to seeing Brother Goomba's girls coming the end of the month. So we'll be glad to have them with us and have the fellowship. So we just give him the thanks and the praise. And we're thanking God always for his blessings on Sister Betty and how he's continually touched her, and just been a supernatural thing. To see how he's, the more they think she's going to die, the more he has give healing to her body. And we thank God for that. So now I'd like to get back on the lesson that we had last month. The last service we had was on the 14th. And then Brother Goomba brought some messages on the two witnesses. And so then we brought a couple messages. We got off for just a little bit, but we're going to come back today on the blood age, but I want to just talk for a few minutes, on reverence in the fellowship. And this is, I was going to just take this with just the girls, and because it's hard to make that change from being at home and being at church. And you know, Brother Branham said that we should have a reverence, that we should have a we should be inviting the Holy Spirit to come in and to prepare our hearts to receive from him, and to get that atmosphere built around us. And I wanted to read something for them, but also I thought it would be good for all of us, because Brother Branham said that the Holy Spirit is timid. And if you read the what timid means, you would think, well, no, God's not like that. And but I just pulled a few little quotes, and I want to read them to you. And the first one, some of them I just took a couple sentences, some of them I took a paragraph. So I have a few of them, so just bear with me a few minutes. He said, "Now the Holy Spirit is so timid, you know, very timid, and I must find favor with him first." And now Brother Branham's talking, he's in the prayer line, and the people are coming, and he's telling how that he's got to get his self first in that right atmosphere and the right attitude. And then he's got to get the people into that same place, that same place of that atmosphere of holiness and worship, and ready to receive from God. And I didn't put the titles to these where they were at, but I just put the little bit of the quote. "Now everyone be real reverent. Have faith in God, and God shall bring it to pass. Do you believe that? Now just a little longer now, It's just a few minutes till 10. And if you'll just wait, this is my last night here. Please, just everyone, when you move or stir, it just shakes me now. I lose the anointing so quickly. The Holy Spirit is very timid. How many knows that? Very timid. And if you'll just be reverent just a little while longer, I'll dismiss the audience, if you will, because it shakes me so bad. Just be reverent, if you will, all right? Everybody reverent. A lot of times in the meeting, people would start moving around. And so when we start getting to service time, the girls are used to moving quickly. They can move from here to there in a second, and the floor bounces and everything, and so it's hard to ask them to settle down and go easy. This is what the word timid means: showing a lack of courage or confidence, easily frightened. I was too timid to ask for what I wanted. Now we know God's not frightened of anything, and we know God's not lacking courage in anything. And so this may sound like the wrong meaning, but Brother Branham used this word many, many times. And so he's talking about the Holy Spirit is only going to dwell where there's reverence. The Holy Spirit's only going to dwell where there's an invitation, where the people want him to come. And they are inviting him into their presence, and then he is going to invite them into his presence. He's going to bring them into that presence. And so just a couple more quotes that I want to read here. How simple it is to see people healed. You believe now out there. Now be reverent, a real reverent, friends. Sometimes in moving, the Holy Spirit is very timid. Very timid. And the Bible said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Be reverent now. Faith is moving all through the building. And we know that faith comes from hearing, and we know that he's the author and the finisher of our faith. So if it's moving, that's him moving through the building. Just set real still, be in worship. And each one of you say to Christ, I want you to touch me, Lord. If you'll just tell to my heart that I'm going to be well, then I'll serve you all my life. And then you can go home and get well and just be in worship. See, you can watch this away. But whatever I say now, do just as I tell you, for it isn't me. When the anointing strikes me, I don't even know until my brethren play the tape and tell me what I said. So you see, it's timid, the Holy Spirit. Just the least little thing grieves it. See? Be real reverent and Jesus will come to you. If you're all excited, see, he can't come to you. See, be reverent and believe. And so there's so much Brother Branham said on this. And sometimes he didn't use the word timid. He used other words that showed the humility and more like not a shyness. God's not shy. But at the same time, the Holy Spirit is timid. Everything must be decently and in order for the Holy Spirit. And so I think that's one reason why Brother Branham said he didn't like to go in places where they had fights and they had all these different types of worldly amusements and worldly gatherings and those things, and because it left spirits behind. And when you come into a group of believers and you come into a group that are desiring to hear from God and desiring to receive from God, then it creates a holy atmosphere. And that's what God wants, and that's what we want. When we come together, that's what we want. The Holy Spirit is timid, very, very timid. And where you have just one unbeliever or a skeptic sitting around, the Holy Spirit just can't work, hardly. Remember, Jesus led a man plumb out of the city, to heal him one time, to get away from unbelief. He come into his own city, and the Bible said, and many mighty works he could not do. We don't want to think it that way, but the Bible said he couldn't do it. See, he cannot do nothing against your belief. You've got to believe it. Someone has told me many times, saying, Brother Branham, I don't care what would happen, I don't believe it. Well, it wasn't to that person. It's not to unbelievers. It's only to believers, they that believe. All things are possible to them that believe, and unbelievers get nothing. So they just don't believe nothing, so they get nothing. See? And one, I think there's just one more here. Actually, there's a couple more there. So if you'll just settle for a few minutes, watch, be careful, be quiet. Now, I don't mean when I say be quiet. If the Lord does anything, you'll want to praise the Lord. That's worship. But what I mean, just turn around and get up, you know, that's irreverent. See? And the Holy Spirit is very timid, very timid. See? Just anything like that just leaves me. And I just have to battle then again, see, if you'll listen. Remember, his first promise, get the people to believe and then be sincere and nothing will stand before you. See? Paragraph 178. See, there's one thing you can't do. You can't have a disturbance. The Holy Spirit is timid. How many knows that? See, you must be obedient during the time, that time. And I think we've talked about it here before. I think Brother Goomba's talked about it before. Where we don't want to do anything to interrupt the anointing. We don't want to do anything to interrupt the minister that's preaching, anything. You don't want to do anything that's going to interrupt that, because the Holy Spirit, the anointing's there, and the Holy Spirit's speaking by the word. And so we want to be in that atmosphere. Peter and John, passing through the gate called Beautiful, said, look on us. Not that they were something to attract. Now you was confessing to God, praying for some certain trouble. Now you believe with all your heart. Now be alert. The Holy Spirit's very timid. How many knows that? Very timid. You know how many times, almost every time he says it twice. You notice that? Very timid. Very timid. It just won't tolerate nothing. So as soon as it's called, answer quickly, see, just pray and believe. And this is in God hiding himself in simplicity. And I'd like to read this sometime, but I'm not going to go through there. But this was the dedication right at the opening of the seals. They were dedicating the new building. And he gave the people some instructions on how to come in, how to prepare themselves for the service, how to leave off the talking inside the meeting. He said, now in the old tabernacle, there might not be one person present this morning that was there the day of the dedication, when Major Allrich played the music, and I stood behind three crosses here to dedicate the place. And I wouldn't permit anybody. The usher stood at the door to see that nobody talked. And when you done your talking, outside, you come in. And if you desire to, silently, you could come to the altar and pray silently. You walk back to your seat, open up the Bible. What your neighbor done, that was up to him. You had nothing to say. If you want to talk to him, say, I'll see you outside. See, I'm in here to worship the Lord. You read his word or set quietly. So, Brother Branham, he give us good instruction, and he give us a good lesson on how to approach God and how to find our way into his presence. And so now, this morning, I want to pick up where we left off on talking about the eternal covenant. And I titled this morning for subject, the blood age. Brother Branham mentions it a couple times. And we know that the church ages were, it was the blood. And it was the blood all the way through. And Brother Branham also, when he typed Abraham, he also talked about Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost. And he talked about Wesley's age was the blood age. And so it was coming. It was the water age, the blood age, and then come the spirit, the token. And so now a couple of the things that since it's been a little while, I want to just mention a couple of things that we covered on the last message. And one of the things Brother Branham said, when the seals completely are broken, the time of redemption is finished. And at that time, he's the lion and not a lamb. At that time, he's the judge. He's no longer a mediator. See? Brother Branham said, and these actors begin in the first church age because it was Christ revealing himself to the seven church ages. Those actors, that was Christ revealing himself. And then Brother Branham, this was another point that Brother Branham brought out. He said, I hope the church truly understands it. See what I mean? You people, I'm going to call you bride, see, that you'll understand it. He's placing you in another place. He's placing you in a higher order. And so now we're going to get into the token message. And Brother Branham, this is where he really began to reveal this change that had taken place. This is where he brought a lot of the revelation of this. There was little things he was saying all along. But when he got to the token message is now when he began to explain the difference in the blood age and the spirit age. And he began to show that there was a change that had to take place, that there was something that was coming and that they had been looking for all of this time, all through the days, all through the ages. They had been looking for this time of something that was coming. And so Brother Branham said they knew there was something coming. And I've always thought, you know, there's so much in this day, in this age, that we didn't have a clue until the prophet came and even told us. We didn't know there was a Malachi 4. We didn't know there was a Luke 17. We didn't know many of those things until he come and said, he took us into the scripture and he shined the light and he said, look at this. This is a promise for the last days. And it rang true to our hearts. And we said, yes, this is a promise for the last days. Other people said, yeah, that's a promise because it's in the Word, but is it today or is it another day? Is William Branham that prophet or is it somebody else that's coming? It created questions. But for some, it was something that just became real to them, and it was something that was just absolutely, positively, yes, this is it. This is it. This is the scripture, and this is the fulfillment of the scripture. There was no doubt. Absolutely 100% sure that this is the manifestation of the promise of this hour. So, paragraph 82 in the token message, I want to begin right there. And now, how could there be a more perfect sacrifice than God himself becoming the atonement himself? When God was made flesh in his own created blood, the only way that a life of God could ever come back, that's the only way that that life could ever come back, was that he himself, he created a body, his own created blood, he come down and he become one of us, a kinsman redeemer. Because all of us was born by sex. And therefore, the life that's in there is of the world. Now, that's as plain and simple as anybody's ever going to say it. He's identifying it. And that life will not stand. That's the world. That's the nature of the world. That's what you were born with. And it won't stand. It's the thing that's already judged and condemned. You can't patch it up. There's no way to patch it. There's no way to smooth it out. There's no way to make it better. It's got to die. And that's the only requirement there is. It's got to die. That worldly nature has got to die. this flesh has got to die. It was born by sex. It came with the nature of the world. It's got to die. That's the word of God. That's the promise of God. So, and the substitute of life of Jesus Christ has to come into you, which is the Holy Ghost, God's token. And that you have accepted the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. I want to read that again. And the substitute, a life of Jesus Christ, has to come into you, which is the Holy Ghost. That's God's token. That you have accepted the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. So he's not doing away with the blood. But he's telling you there's something more that you've got to have than that. There's something more. It's come. God is moving and God is revealing and God is taking another step. And that step is got to come to pass. And he's gonna say something a little bit here that I want to relate back to this. And actually, I think we're going to bring on Wednesday night. Therefore, in the days of Wesley, or the days of Luther, it was thought to believe, in the days of Wesley, the chemistry of the blood. But this is the last days, where the token is required. And that makes to gather the whole unit for the rapture. You see? And we've read those quotes several times. They popped up along the way. And so, it's making up the whole body of the rapture. It's making up the whole body of Christ. See? This is the last day. He said, but this is the last day. There it was, the blood. Luther, Wesley, Pentecost coming right on. But now, this is the last day. The token is required. And that makes together the whole unit for the rapture. Do you see it? Congregation says amen. See, water, blood, spirit come when a mother gives birth to the baby. The first thing breaks, a normal birth, is water. The second thing is blood. And the next thing is life. Isn't it beautiful how it types all the way through? God over and over and over is typing, typing, typing. And there come from the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, water, blood, life. And the whole church, the bride, together, see, has been made up through justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is the token. Bringing it water, blood, spirit. Those three steps of grace. But in Hebrews 13 says, all these who wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins and was destitute and all these things that they done, yet was not made perfect without us. All of those great things. He takes that chapter and he goes through and he talks about the supernatural and he talks about the deliverance and he talks about the sacrifice. He talks about how they give their life. He talks about how God delivered him and over and over and over. And then he comes down to the end of the chapter and he says, and they was not made perfect without us. There was something that was lacking yet. There was something that was coming yet. There was something that had to fill in to finish this body, that had to finish this rapture, that had to finish this revelation. There was something that had been left off. It had been building and building and building. And now it's come now to the capping of that thing. That's something that's going to bring perfection. Or that should do something to us to think that this perfection, that they could not be made perfect without us, without this ministry, without this revelation, without this part of the body coming and joining itself to that. This is the completeness. This is the climax. This is the bringing the whole thing together. Paragraph 89. And the church in this day that's received the token of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that the blood has been shed and that the Holy Ghost is upon the church. Without us, then they cannot rise. Huh? They cannot rise. They cannot, that resurrection can't take place for them without us. This is that part that had to bring that to pass. But they were depending on us, for God promised he would have it, and somebody's going to be there. Now, I don't know who it's going to be, but somebody's going to receive it. And the only thing I'm responsible is to preach it. It's God's business to look out for that predestinated seed. And he will. And he does. And he has. And he will continue to look out for that predestinated seed to bring them in the presence of God, of this word in this day. He's doing it. There is going to be there, though, because they're going to be there, each one of them, one with the other. The water age, the blood age, and now the token age of the Holy Ghost. God bringing it down now to the very life of God has to be manifested now. It can't be any other substitute now. It's got to be himself in the bride. And remember, Israel come through many things, but it was the evening time when the token was required. See, not in the morning, not in the preparation, the 14 days of the keeping up of the lamb, Israel knowed something was coming. See, so did Luther know it. So did Wesley know it. So did Finley and Knox and Calvin know it. This is it. This is it. They knew something was coming. Brother Branham, the Old Testament talked about those prophets. The New Testament talked about those prophets. Paul did. That they were looking for this. They were looking for this day. And now it's come down to the fullness of it. This is what they were looking for. This very day and age. This very revelation. This is what it was all about. See? They knew there would come a time that the pillar of fire would return back to the church. They know there would come a time that these things would happen, but they didn't live to see it. But they looked forward to it. They knowed something was going to happen. They knowed something was going to take place. They knowed God was going to do something great. And the theologians had it figured out all wrong. They were had the people looking in a different direction. But the spiritual seed knew that something was coming. Something was going to happen. And Brother Branham said, and something I've thought about many times, he said there is something in a believer that all of their life they knew that there was a God. They knew there was something there. Even when they didn't know him, even when they didn't know the truth, even they might have been on the atheist side, they might have been on the denominational side, wherever they were, there was something in them that knew there was a God. And so even when we didn't know what the reality of it was, there was something down there tugging. There was something down there confirming that somewhere, somehow, someday, God is going to manifest this thing. That all of this that we're looking at is not the real thing. All of this is what Satan has perverted and disturbed. But God is going to bring it back. See, it's been 93, it's been the Lamb all the way through. It was the Lamb in Luther's time. It was the Lamb in Wesley's time. But now, what does that mean? But now, he's telling us there's been a change. There's been a step higher. There's something now that God is requiring that they couldn't obtain in those days. They couldn't obtain it because it hadn't come. And now it's come. Now it's come. And it's a must now. But now is the token time that each house must be covered by the token. Each house of God must be covered by the token. All that's inside of it must be covered by the token. The house of God is the body of Jesus Christ. What is it? It's the body. That's his body. And it must be filled. He must be in it. See? And by one Spirit, we're all baptized into this body and become part of it. God said, when I see the token displayed, I'll pass over you. What an hour that we're now living in. Oh my. See? A blood identified the believer because the life had gone out and could not come back. See? So he had to have a chemistry. He had to have a paint, a blood, a chemistry that showed that the life went out from it. But now, again, now, that's what we want to know. What is the requirement now? Now the very Spirit itself is the token. The Holy Spirit itself is the token and not the blood. We come through that. We come through the blood. We come through the blood age. It's there. It paid the price. It'll always be the price of redemption. But now, that's not enough. Now, it's got to be the life. It's got to be the very life of Christ himself in the house of God, in the body, in the veil. The Holy Spirit itself is the token, not the blood. The blood was shed at Calvary. That's true. But the blood, as far as it is, it went back to the elements from which it come, from the food that he lived on. But you see, inside the blood cell was a life that started the blood cell to moving. See, the chemistry had no life in it itself, and therefore it could not move. But when the life come into the chemistry of the blood, it formed a cell. And it formed its own cell, then cell after cell, then it become a man. And that man was God. It become a man, I'm saying Emmanuel, in flesh. That man was God, Emmanuel, in flesh. And when that life returned back, the chemistry went into it. But the token is the Holy Ghost upon the church, that they see Christ, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost upon the church, in the bride, that they see Christ. These are veiled statements that are so real to the bride, because that's exactly what the opening of the seventh seal was. It was revealing to the bride the presence of God. It was revealing to the bride that he had come. It was revealing to the bride that they are sons and daughters of God. It was revealing to them. It was making real to them. It was his presence that was doing it. It was his Spirit that was doing it. It was the life within them that it took them over was now showing them Christ in this day and in this age. In one another, in the bride, showing them that he's here, knowing. This is in the questions and answers, paragraph 192. I cut some of this out just for the sake of time. He said, now notice, as he dwelt with Abraham, so has he with his seed. And now one of these days, when I come back sometime, I want to take that a little more closer and show you exactly the stations of Abraham's life. It's exactly with Luther and Wesley and on down to here, just exactly how he's dealt with the churches like he did with Abraham. How he appeared, see? And how that there, when he confirmed the covenant to him under the shed blood. See, it was the Philadelphian age, yes, sir. That was the blood age. And see, the Wesleyan age, that was the blood age. And the blood was shed at Calvary, right? And it come all the way through. But now it's requiring the life. But then watch the Pentecostal age. After he come to there, he made the promise of El Shaddai, nurse from me. The question is, can you nurse? That was brought before the Pentecostals. See, can you nurse? And that's what they proved they couldn't. That's what the prophet was trying to give them. He was trying to give them that spiritual food. He was trying to give them that life. He was trying to give them that spiritual breast that they could feed upon El Shaddai, that they could feed upon God himself. Can you nurse? But they didn't do it. They grabbed them a breast from the denomination where they come out of, see? But then the seed, the real seed, come on to nurse that breast. Amen. That's where the bride is. Amen. And what was the last sign that they had before the promised son that they waited on all these years, to come back? Was God standing in the form of a man, could discern the thoughts that was in Sarah's heart. Sarah being the church, representing the church. Discern the thoughts that's in the church that was even behind him. Is that right? And immediately after that, she changed back to a young woman and him a young man. Isaac was brought on the scene, the promised son. I believe you're seeing the last thing that will happen to the church before the rapture. That's exactly. I believe it. The reign is over. Just read the first three chapters of Revelations and you'll see what's promised to the church. That's what's promised, church, right there, the church ages, right there. And what did we have in this day? God in flesh once again. No man could do what was done. No man could turn his back and discern the secrets that was in the hearts of the people. No man could, when Satan was trying over and over and over to cause it to not be true, to make it look like it wasn't true, to stir the people in another direction. God proved it true every time perfectly, every time. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. It's amazing. Told them what their name was. Told them where they lived at. Told them their house number. Told them their city. Told them things that nobody knew but them. Nobody knew. Revealing. 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 And it happened tens of thousands of times. We can't imagine how many times that those things took place in the life of the prophet. And how, just as we read a while ago, under that anointing, many times he didn't have any idea what he said. But he would have to go back. He was so completely surrendered to God that God took over his vocal cords. God took over his whole body and was speaking and was doing what he wanted to do. And the man was not even at times able to comprehend what was happening. Paragraph 312, the token message. Many people think today, because I belong to the church, I'm safely secured. Don't you believe such nonsense? What is that? Nonsense. When you relate yourself to a church, when you relate your salvation to any church, any group, and think that there is some type of saving power there, there's some type of salvation there, Brother Branham said, that's nonsense. You have been deceived. You've been deceived. The blood shall be a token unto you. The spirit now is the token unto you. The life that was in the blood. See? The life that was in the blood. The spirit now is the token unto you. Same. Let's think that. The same token that they used in Egypt. The same life token that was in Egypt was in Egypt. God used that same symbol up there. Joshua, a perfect type of Jesus, was true to the token sign that his messengers had preached. Joshua, when he said that, he said, don't touch that house or anything in it. It's reserved for the Lord. Amen. Think, when they went down there, the spies went down to Jericho. They didn't know how God was going to deliver that place. They didn't know how God was going to destroy that place. All they knowed was to put a scarlet thread there so that the soldiers could identify that place. But they weren't going to have anything. God was honoring their word. When he destroyed every wall, when he destroyed that whole place, and her house was attached to that wall, and it didn't fall. God was honoring their word because they were being moved by the Spirit of God. They were being moved by the word of God. They were being moved by the promise of God. They were God in action. They were the actors that God was using to express himself, to fulfill his word, his promise. They were the ones. They were that part in that day, part of the body. A Gentile, a harlot, streetwalker, but she heard and believed, and she applied the token. No matter how stooped you are in sin, what you've done, that doesn't have one thing to do with it. You apply the token, it's for you. If you feel in your heart there's something tugging, it's for you. You apply the token, see? And the great Joshua. The word Joshua means Jehovah Savior. So does Jesus mean a Savior. And Joshua, when he knowed his messengers returned back and said, I have obeyed your orders. And there was a woman that we found, and when we played the tapes, I like the way he puts it, you know, we found a woman that believed, and we talked to her, that all that would come under that red sign back there, the token, it would mean. See, now I preach that. Will you honor it, Joshua? He said, I sent you to do it. Amen. And then God honored it. The house never shook down. Then when Joshua stood there and gave the signal to destroy the whole thing, went right straight up, and Rahab and all of her people set right, and all their possessions, amen, amen. All their possessions was in the house safely. They just stood there and didn't have to look out the window. They could read the scripture while the battle was going on. And I thought of this statement that Brother Brandon's making. He's telling us where the bride is. We're not looking out here worried about world politics. We're not worried about the war in all these other countries. We're not worried about all the problems everywhere else. We're not standing there looking out the window fearing. But we're just sitting, relaxing, and worshiping, and praising him, and reading the revelation as he's telling us what the end of it all is. He's revealing the promise for this day. He's revealing what the bride has and what Israel has, his servants. Praise be to God. They could read the scripture while the battle was going on. She come right back and courted the general in the army, and was raised up coming in Bethlehem, and her portion was lauded up there to them. See? And she brought forth a famous son. And that famous son brought forth another famous son. And that son brought forth another famous son. Until the great famous son, right back down, see, on through Obed and on through Jesse, on down to David, see? That's right. Rahab the harlot. Because she believed the messenger. She applied the token. And her house was saved. And she had perished down there, or she had perished down there where she was at. But she believed, and she accepted the promise. And we was talking last night in devotions with the girls that how that God always has somebody who's willing to be outside of that box of what man's ideas and the pressure. David, when he told the priest to give his men that hollowed bread, David, he wouldn't have never done that, but he had a need. He had a need, and his men were more important. That maze was the same maze before it was prayed over and became holy maze. It was the same maze all the time. It was the same maze. And so when he had a need, he just said, give us that and let us eat. The same when Boaz came to redeem Ruth. One of them was willing to do it just for the money, just for the land, just to gain that. But when it came to doing the right thing, when it came to getting the seed continued, to fulfilling what God wanted done with his word in that day, that's what Boaz, sure, he would take the land, that was okay, but that wasn't his purpose. His purpose was to fulfill the right of the kinsman redeemer. That was what it was. And that's the reason he had first to take her, because Naomi knew that he was a kinsman redeemer. She knew that he was a near kinsman. But he knew that there was somebody even closer than him who must be notified first, who had the first right, but couldn't do it because he couldn't get out of that box. And that's where people get. They get in that denominational box. They get in that nominal idea. They get in society's box. There's a box of the way society thinks. Society, they even though there's such a perversion in this day, there's such a perversion when you talk about the trans and the gays and the lesbians. That's just a powerful perversion that's taking place. But do something God's way that's not their way. You notice that they don't want to do anything God's way. So when it comes to marriage and divorce, according to the word of God, they don't want that. And socially, that's not accepted. Although every perversion in the world is accepted. It's come to that place now. Every type of perversion is accepted by society. So much so, they were teaching it in the church, in the schools. They had so many books already infiltrated into the schools, and teachers and principals. I seen a picture yesterday of a principal. I don't know if it was a woman or a man. She was dressed like a woman, but she looked like a devil with all of the everything that she had. I don't know if she was trans or just drag. I think it said she was drag. Now, there's so many different things. They mean so many different things. I'm not even sure I know all of the different terminologies that they have. I sure don't know all of those letters of the LGBTQ. It goes on and on and on. Now, it goes into the genders, which is complete insanity when people don't know what gender they are. When they think that they can say, I'm this gender. And they think that there's something different than what God made them. That's insanity. That's complete, total insanity. And then for them to sit and fight and argue and bicker and hate somebody and even kind of destroy somebody because you're not willing to call them what they say they are. Because it's insanity. It's just insanity. Oh my. God brought him over and over and over again. How God gathers his people. How God had one person, one family in Jericho. And she was the worst one in the whole place. She was the worst one. And God sent them down there just to get her. And he destroyed everything else. All the righteous, all of the religious, all of the priests, all of the good church people, all the good everybody. He destroyed everything except one harlot and everybody she could persuade to get in her house. That's what he went for. Because he had a seed in that woman. And they were looking, no doubt, even some of those Israelites looked down on her for what her past was. But God had a seed of faith that was living in her and made her believe the word of God. Listen close now. Oh, say, do you recognize it? All under it was saved in Egypt. All under it was saved in Jericho. All under it will be saved today. The blood-bound blood lamb is a type of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13, 10 and 20. I don't got time to read it, put it down, see? The everlasting covenant. The blood of Jesus Christ is called the everlasting covenant. Yes, sir. Everlasting covenant. Why wasn't it called eternal covenant? Because it wouldn't be eternal. When we're redeemed, it's all over then. See? It's an everlasting, which means a certain amount of time. That's right. Till time is out, there'll never be another one. When time runs out, we won't need no covenant. But until time runs out, we need the covenant, the blood covenant. We need it till time runs out. And then there's only one thing then, and that's eternal. We go into eternal. We go into eternity, and that eternity is eternal life. And that only eternal life is God himself. And God himself comes into the house, comes into the vessel, comes into the body, and begins to live out his life that he had to finish this great promise, to finish the body of God. See, paragraph 2:24. Remember, Hebrews 13, 10 and 20, everlasting covenant. God's blood-bound promise makes us free from sin. See, and there's no sin in him. Sin, self, flesh. Worship him and show forth his promised power. God's blood-bound, token-bound, covenant people has the spirit of Jesus Christ in here. That he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Displaying the covenant. See, that's right. New Testament. New Testament means covenant. That's right. Isn't it, Dr. Vail? Testament means covenant. And the New Testament means the new covenant. And the Old Testament was the old under the Lamb, that the life could not come back on the believer. See? That could not come back. This one has to come back. That's the difference. The New Testament was the Lamb of God, and his life comes back on us, his blood's life. See? Blood is life in the New Testament. See? Life is from the blood. Life is from the blood of the Lamb, which means the New Testament, new covenant. That God, after those days, see? After those days, I will write my laws upon the fleshly tables of their heart. See? See? Not upon the stony tables and a lamb's blood. Not upon a stony table. Not upon a lamb's blood. Which you had to say, yeah, I got the blood over here. Now what does it say do? But upon the tables of your heart, see? The spirit covenant will I make with the people. See how he pulls that right out of the Old Testament? Pulls it right out of the Old Testament and brings it into the New Testament. It displays or ties it together with the New Testament. It displays his power, John 14, 12. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. New Testament is new covenant, new life. Shows Jesus has met every requirement for us that God required to make us back truly sons and daughters of God. What is it? That's the promise right there. That's the fulfilling of the promise right there. To bring us back to that place. To bring us back to where Adam was. To bring us back to that realization of who we are. To bring us back to that reality. We're under the blood where there's no more condemnation. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in, not those who are believing. Listen to that. Not those that are believing. Well, you know there's scripture that say that if you just believe. And that's where the nominal world is resting. That's where they're resting their salvation and everything that they believe. Brother Branham said, you can believe. And he said, it's just sympathizing. You can say it's the truth. You can agree with it all you want to. But it's got to be living. It's got to be alive. It's got to be Him in you bringing it to pass. It's not just saying, I believe. Those who are in Christ Jesus that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, and my word is Spirit and life. See? Oh, couldn't I take a text from that and stay about a couple more hours? But we'll hurry over here, you see? No more condemnation. Free from sin. Free from the cares of the world. No condemnation. Why? Because we've, where we are in the revelation, these words mean so much more to us. When these things was preached in early 63, and the seals, but Brother Branham, even when we were looking in the breach, Brother Branham even talked about this. He even talked about sin being done away. He even talked about the very things that he brought out that came in his fullness in the invisible union, on true justification, on no more sin, on being one with God. He started that in the seals right there. And now as it's coming into the token now, and that it's the life, the very life of God, every time you bring it to God, you're bringing it to no sin, no condemnation. This is where it has to be. It has to be right here. No condemnation. And that has to be a revelation. It has to be a reality that you were a part of God before the foundation of the world, and that there is no sin. There's nothing that could be attributed to you because it's Him now. And it's not that nature that you were born with. It's not that worldly nature. No more condemnation. Free from sin. Free from the cares of the world. No condemnation. Why? To them that have been by one Spirit baptized into one body. There the blood of the Lamb has been applied. The God of heaven has accepted you. His life is in you. And you are sons and daughters of God. Amen. Your character is God's character. What is it? A little pushover? No, sir. God is a God of judgment. He is a God of correct. It must be on the line, see? Nothing else will work. That's the kind of character you are. Because you're the character of your Father. That's right. It brings forth that life. And that life, it's not a pushover. It's to stand on the word and believe the word. But it also, being the word, being eternal life, it knows when to offer grace. It knows when. There's a difference. I was thinking about what Brother Goomba said a while back about somebody told him that he wasn't militant enough. And I thought, that's a quite a statement, really, when you think about it. But the bride is militant on her stand upon the revelation that God has given her. She's militant upon that. But she's so full of grace that it deceives Satan sometime. It deceives the dogmatic, I don't want to say it wrong, but you know, sometimes we have a lack of sympathy. We have a lack of care. We have a lack of love for people. And that is not God. Because God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Abraham so loved God that He gave His only Son. He gave Him. And we give ourselves a living sacrifice to God. We give. We surrender. We die. Because there's something in there that's real. And that character of God, yeah, He's the Lion. Yes, He's the Judge. He's all of that. But she's crying, grace, grace, grace. And only God can show that middle of the road. Only God can put you on that highway. Only God can put you in that place where you're not falling to the right or the left, but you're right in the middle of it. Your character is God's character. The life. Watch when the life is took for the blood. See, the life itself is... the blood was applied and the life could not come on the believer then for the life of an animal. Not the life, see, but see, instead of a human being, it was a super human being. And that makes the human being now not only a human being, but he's a son and daughter of God, of the super life that was in him. See, comes back upon you and changes you from a sinner and the things of the world, a church member, a denominational goer, to a born-again Christian filled with the Spirit. The life of God just flowing from you like sparks from an anvil as you walk full of virtue and love and gentleness. And as the Holy Spirit moving, speaking, oh my, there you are. With what? Hearing the message, watching the pillar of fire, and the blessed assurance, I pass from death unto life. See? Now, note, therefore, there's no condemnation at all. You're in his presence. You're in his presence. Satan can't get you to you there. Satan can't touch you there. He can't take away your revelation. He can't touch it. That's the difference. If our hearts condemn us not, then we have our petition. See? We know. And if sin is in our heart, then it condemns us. And we just might as well not even start. See? You've got to get free from sin. And the only way you can get free from sin is to get in him. That's the only covering there is for sin, is Christ. That's it. Praise God. Is in him. Remember the covenant blood. The covenant blood is not recognized without the token. You cannot, you will not. You say, well, I've been sanctified from things. That's not the token. See, it's the Spirit is the token. The Spirit of Christ upon you, believe it. That's right. You look at Israel. To be born an Israelite was a God-given right. That was a God-given right. They were born into that nationality. They were born as a Jew. That was God placed him there. Nobody else could place him there. Everyone outside of that, they couldn't be that by birth. But Israel was. And they could be circumcised. They could have the proof of God's covenant, that covenant that God gave them, they could have the proof of that in their life. And they had it. They had that. They were a born Jew, and they had the proof of the covenant, and they could observe every sacrifice. They could observe everything that God had told them to do. They could do every bit of it, and all of that was good. But there came a time when the living God was still moving and still moving, as he always is. He was moving, and he brought them to a place that he said, now all of that's good. You can be a Jew. You can be circumcised. You can observe every sacrifice. You can do all of that. But now, the blood must be on the door. Now, you must put the blood on the door, or the firstborn is going to die. There was no two ways about it. Nothing else was going to get you there. Nothing. It didn't matter about your circumcision. It didn't matter about your birth, your natural birth. It didn't matter. It meant nothing. You had to come into now the furtherance of the word. And that's what Brother Branham's telling the bride. Sure, it was believed in every one of those ages. It was the blood. It was the blood. It was the blood. And it was. But now it's the life that was in the blood. Now it's the literal life of Jesus Christ living in the bride. What a place to be in. and to know that they could not be made perfect without us. They couldn't, because this is the thing that they needed. This is the thing that was going to bring the resurrection. This was the thing that was going to raise them up out of the grave. This was the thing that was going to make the body move, make the body talk, make the body know everything that it needed to know. 3:37. Now look, the word assures us of the promise. All these are texts that I've set down here. Just keep on preaching all day, look like. See? On it. And the word assures us of the promise, because it is the promise. The word is the promise. And the word is God. And the word is ours. And we become the word, and the word becomes us. And if you abide in me and my word in you, then see, it just becomes one great big family. See, it assures us. Because why? Well, it's part of us, see? See, it becomes part of us. What a text, see, assures us of the promise. That's what it's doing constantly, constantly. 3:38, the token is the sign that the purchase has been made and been accepted. And now you can get the token from the railroad fare. You can't get the token from the railroad fare until you pay the price. And the only way you're going to pay the price is pay it. See, that's right. What? Believe it. Accept it. Full obedience to the whole word of God will entitle you to the token. See? Full obedience. Not the part of it as far as your denomination goes, but all of it. Full obedience to the word, which is Christ, brings you into Christ. That's it. Full obedience to the word. And how's that going to be? How is it going to happen? How are you going to do that? There's only one way. It's Him doing it. It's Him revealing it. It's Him coming into you that's making it live, that's making it real. See? Now, what if you was just all in but your feet hanging out? What if you was all in but your hands hanging out? Most of us in heart hanging out, see? That's what's wrong with too many. The heart is in the world yet, see? But we don't do that. Full, complete obedience puts you and the word one. You believe it every bit. And all of it's in you. And you watch it, it working through you. Amen. Oh my. That has to become reality. And I think about the prophet, how powerful it was, and how much greater, and what a greater portion it was. So much so that he said, they would tell me I said something, and I would have to listen to the tape to know that I said it. I'd say, no, I didn't say that. Be things that he didn't even know. And then he'd go back and hear his voice and know that God was speaking through him. He knew it was never wrong. He knew it was never wrong. And that same thing is moving in the bride. It's living in the bride. You don't go about with a bunch of carrying on, see? You're a Christian. No matter what anybody says, they'll never touch you. You're in Christ. You're safe as you can be. When death knocks at the door, it has no hold, see? Not at all. Why? It's just stepping out here into there. See? You're just in Him. You're resting in Him. Age means not a thing. You've done past from age. You're in eternity. Because you're in Him, and He is eternal. That's so simple, isn't it? Just so simple. We have entered eternity. And how do we do that? Eternal life is living in us. You don't need a board. You don't need a chart. You don't need any theological or intellectual explanation for that. That's just as simple can be right there. Eternal life is living in you. God has taken over. Oh my, I thank Him. I'm going to read it again. Age means not a thing. You've done past from age. You're in eternity because you're in Him and He is eternal. Don't mean a thing, whether you're young or old, middle age, whatever you are, pretty, ugly, short, fat, what, that don't matter a thing. It doesn't. See, you don't go around all these other things. You done pass from that. You're dead. Your life is hid in God through Christ. You're sealed in there by the Holy Ghost, walking in Christ. The only object you see is Christ. That's all. See? That's the only way you walk. See? But oh my, no wonder we used to sing that little song, "Feel My Way Every Day with Love, as I walk with the heavenly dove. Let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Praise be to God." Amen. Praise be to God. I got done really early. I thought I had a... I didn't think I would finish, actually. But we thank God. We thank God to know this now. This now is the hour that it is the token. This now is the literal life of Jesus Christ coming back on the believer. This is what they were looking for. Brother Branham said they knew it was coming. They knew something was coming. They knew somewhere that God was going to send the pillar of fire again, and that God was going to manifest himself in flesh again before the people, that the people would see God doing the same thing that he did back there when he came down in the flesh of Jesus Christ. That I don't know how to describe it. I don't know how to say how blessed we are to have lived in the day, in the hour, that those things have taken place, that we know that God has visited the earth once again, and that God discerned the hearts and the intents, that God revealed himself to the people again. He raised the dead up. He healed the sick. He created flesh. He did everything that could possibly be done. Every disease, no matter what, the worst, the hardest, the impossible, he did it all. He did it. And he's still alive today. And he still can do anything that he ever did. He doesn't change. He doesn't change. When I think on one of those quotes there, I don't know if I read it or didn't point it out, but when Brother Branham was talking about reverence, he said, when the people get in that reverence, and he said, when everybody gets quiet and they get in that atmosphere, and he said, when the Holy Spirit comes in and it heals somebody, it does some supernatural something. He said, that's the attitude of God right then. And he said, that attitude that God has displayed, he said, now it's right there for anybody who wants it. He said, God has placed it there. He said, once he's done it, he's saying now it's available to anybody. That God's that attribute, that attitude of God now, he's laying it out there. Right now, I'm here. You see what I've done. I've proven myself. I've proven the promise. All you got to do now is just reach out and take it, and it's yours. Wow. Think about it. And think how many people, the prophets, sit there in that spiritual realm, and he watched some receive it, and he watched some shake their head and walk off. And not only did he know that they were rejecting it, but he said they would never, ever be able to receive it again. That was their one chance. That they were standing in the presence of God. And God was offering to them the very thing that they needed. And he said they would never be offered again. He said they would die like that. Because they stood in the face of God and refused it. And there were they, thousands and thousands maybe, rejected the physical part, maybe tens of thousands accepted it. But now, what's even more important now is the spiritual part. Now it's the spiritual revelation of who he is and how, where he is, how he's manifesting himself in his body in this day. Amen. We thank him and we praise him for all that he's given us, for all that is laying in this message for us to feed upon. And he is the one who gives us revelation. He's the one who gives his spirit. He's the one who moves out all condemnation, who moves out all things. Amen. Let's just stand together with us. I'm going to ask Brother Goomba if he'll come and dismiss us this morning in a word of prayer. And God bless you, brother.
God bless you, Brother Dom, for that sermon. It's a very touching sermon. And there's a big problem when people don't understand. When the prophet talks about the blood covenant was not eternal, that sounds sacrilegious. That sounds like you're blaspheming, because blood is supposed to be eternal. It's the blood of God, like that. But now we understand. We understand why he said it. Why he said it. The redemption is over. You know, blood was like, and Brother Ron has brought it very well. I don't need to talk about it again. Blood was like money. The money that was buying. It was a payment. It paid. And he got what he wanted. It's over. Now, the life now comes back to you, become like him. He got what he wanted. And now you're together. That was the main thing. And that part, especially that part of that... There's no form, there's no any other form of eternity except God. When he's in you, you're God, you become that. And that's exactly what God wanted. And he wanted to take you back to where you are in the beginning. And that is very good. Thanks, that's very good. I was told to greet you, and I told them I'm not going to greet you today. Because I didn't know that I would start here. So I told them I'm going to greet you next Sunday. So now I stand here before you, so I can give you your greetings. The Munyo Church, the many brothers who listened in from different places, they give me your greetings, and I hope Amen. That you receive them. Let me pray. Let's pray. I see that Brother Michael was called out. I think he was called out to work, is that right? Yeah. But that's all right. That's okay. We pray for him that everything will be okay. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the way you've talked to us, Lord God, this morning. We're so happy for the great things and the deep things, Lord God, that you've spoken this morning to our hearts, Father. We know, Lord God, it's out of love that you speak the way you do to us, Lord. Father, when these things are spoken to the world, Lord, they don't have the ear to hear, Lord. When they came to you, Father, after speaking to them in parables and things like that, Lord, you said, Father, that they asked you, why do you speak in parables? And without parables, you don't speak to them. And they say, Father, that you speak like that so that hearing, they will not hear. Seeing, they will not see. Lord, but you told them that you people are given the ear to hear. And Father, you've given us the ear to hear. That's why when you speak, Father, we hear. We understand, Lord God. We see things in this, Lord. And we are so blessed people, Lord. We are so thankful for these things, Lord. Now, as we dismiss, Lord, give us a good week. Strengthen us, Lord God. Found us, Lord God, on not on quicksands, Father, but on a strong foundation, Lord, that we can stand for you in our lives, Lord. That we can identify ourselves with you. That we can display you, Lord God, because that is the purpose, Father, that you brought us here. You want us to display you. You want us, when the world looks at us, Lord God, they see you because you are your body, Lord. Thank you for everything. Bless Brother Michael, Lord God, the work he does here, Lord God, and his job, Lord. Bless him, Father. Be with him, Lord God, as he works today, Lord. I know he didn't like it, but Father, he wanted to be here, Lord God, and listen to you speak, Father, and fellowship around your word, Lord God, with you here, Father. But it happened that he was called, Lord. Wherever he is, Father, bless him as you bless us. In all together, Lord God, we surrender ourselves to you now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray.
Amen. Amen. Amen.